Of course, we want to thank our friends at Barbados Lottery promoting youth sport and culture for staying with Mason and guests, and they've been with us for quite a long time. We certainly appreciate your sponsorship. Now let's go to the land of wood and water. Somebody talked about dumplings earlier. Of course, when you go to Jamaica, you get a very good dumpling. And Nehemiah Perry, very well dressed. Indeed, he's a big insurance man there in Jamaica, making lots of money. Tells me he's got to insure Fazeer Muhammad and Floyd Reefer, not in that order. But it's good to see you, Nehemiah Perry, with a lovely smile. A smile that is as broad as Kingston. How are you this evening, good old Nehemiah Perry? How are you? Just we want to hear you. Turn on that mic.
Unmute yourself.
Yes. Hello. Okay, just put it on. Fazeer, do you want to help Nehemiah get
right. The mic? You hear me now?
Oh, yes. And Jamaicans know about turn on mics.
Yes. Lots of DJs.
You know? Lots of DJs, of course. I know that. Of course, yes, Barry Gordon and those big boys there in Jamaica, the days when Fazeer went and worked for JBC. Now, talk to me. How are things going with you, Nehemiah Perry? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm still here, still helping out with the local cricket in Kingston Cricket Club.
Yes.
I'm part of the Kingston Cricket Club Cricket Committee and director of the Kingston Cricket Club and so on. So I'm still active, still here, hanging in here and helping the youngsters getting through and trying to guide them in the right path in cricket.
Fazeer Muhammad told me that he heard that you're going to be running against Billy Haven in the next election. Is that true?
That it could be a possibility.
Fazeer, you got a story. You got a story, Fazeer Muhammad, because I understand that the Trinidadians are not very happy. We're going to talk about that very soon, you know, Fazeer. I'm hearing that the Trinidadians are not very happy. And I know that there's a plan afoot there in Jamaica for someone to run against Billy Haven, and the next elections are going to be very tight. And the standard Barbadian is going to be challenging our very good friend, and you know who you're talking about, of course, Ricky Skerritt. So are you confirming on Mason and Guest that you are going to be running for the presidency of the Jamaica Cricket Association next year, Nehemiah Perry? Are you confirming that?
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not confirming that. I'm still giving it some thought. You know, it's a lot you're gonna give up, and I'm not confirming anything. But it's something that I strongly believe that we need some very good leadership, and we need some serious amount of work to bring back our cricket. Our cricket is in a desperate situation, and I think management and leadership have to start from there to get everything streamlined, so that the pathway. It's very, very clear.
Fazeer, just before we come to Floyd, I'm hearing that Trinidad and Tobago are not happy, and our good friend Mr. Skerritt might have lost the support of Trinidad. Is there any truth in that, Fazeer? You know these things. You talk to Mr. Bazarat.
No, I don't, actually. I rely on you to provide all this information. Well, just for the record, it's interesting. It's interesting how you've ascribed me as asking the questions that you want to ask of Nehemiah. But we know how you operate, Andrew. That's the way it goes. But anyway, you are the agent provocateur in every respect.
This is what I'm hearing. Yes, Fazeer.
Well, as far as whether or not there's any discontent with Ricky Skerritt, we haven't heard anything to that effect. And indeed, right at the moment, things are pretty quiet on the administrative front. When it comes to cricket, because at this stage with COVID-19 and not much money around, there isn't much that can be done at this stage. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some move afoot. Because let's be honest about it. It was a case of treachery that brought Ricky Skerritt and Kishore Shallow into office in 2019. Because people who had apparently given their word to Dave Cameron,
right,
at least two of them went back on it.
Right.
As far as I understand it, that's a definition of treachery. So if it allowed Ricky Skerritt and Kishore Shallow to come into office, as much as they've been doing good work, or that could be debated, whether they have been doing good work, they can't be surprised if the same thing bites them in 4 months' time.
Yes, well, I'm hearing that a lot of planning behind the scenes. I understand that Jamaica, thanks to Nehemiah Perry, he's got a team going. They're campaigning there. They want to run against Mr. Billy Haven. They feel that they can beat him this time. And these are all things I'm hearing. I'm also hearing that in Guyana, that things, the status quo will remain, and you could have a very serious situation when it comes to next year. But of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. What I'm going to do, Nehemiah, we're going to just spend a little time with Floyd because I know he has to go. But Nehemiah, please stay with us because we want to get your reaction to the situation, of course, with of course New Zealand and the West Indies. So Floyd, before you go, why politics? So, I mean, I certainly... I was a little bit surprised. There was a lot of talk. My good friend Dr. Ford had said to me that he heard that you were going to be running. But why the decision to go into politics, Floyd?
Well, Andrew, the many opportunity presented itself, Glenn Clark leaving the party, mm-hmm. I was asked to leave. I got a lot of calls from my community, mm-hmm. people in my community as well, people in the constituency. Young people as well. And what is politics, Andrew? You know, politics is representing the people, your people, right? And the people in St. George, you know, felt that they needed the representation for myself. And there was always a need for opposition. Mm-hmm. You know, in any country, I believe that there should be a strong opposition. There should be checks and balances. You know, one party running the whole government, running the whole country is not healthy for the, is not healthy for us. It's not healthy for us, our kids, our grandkids. I believe that there's a need for a strong opposition as well.
Mm. So what was the experience like? Fazer, feel free to jump in and ask any questions. We're going to spend another 5-6 minutes with Floyd before he goes. But what was the experience like, Floyd, in politics? And any regrets?
No, I don't have any regrets, Andrew. Anything in life, I have no regrets. You know, this is something that I discussed with my wife, I discussed with my family. I had good family support. You know, I had good support. I also supported the president and the vice president of Cricket West Indies, who supported me as well, along with the staff. I got, you know, messages from players. I got messages from the staff as well. So I had good support going into this new venture. Mm-hmm. So I have no regrets at all. It was very good for me. It was very exciting. It was very intense, obviously, in a by-election in a short space of time. There's a lot of work to be done, but you know, I've learned a lot, and like I said, you know, me interacting with the young people in our society, I think that the young people, you know, need a lot of mentorship, they need a lot of guidance, and these young people are the future of Barbados, and you know, we have to make sure that these people are in good stead and get good mentorship and opportunities as they go forward in life.
Mm-hmm. Was there any questions for your good friend Floyd?
Just one really, Floyd. I mean, we've had a history of cricketers and sportsmen in general being involved in politics. The great Sir Wes Hall was, of course, very much involved in politics. And indeed, the late great Sir Frank Worrell was very much an advocate himself, even though he was a senator in Jamaica. By the way, hopefully we'll see a statue of Sir Frank Worrell replacing Horatio Nelson, which was mercifully removed from Trafalgar Square in Bridgetown. Congratulations to Barbados for making the right decision.
Yes.
But just quickly, Floyd, do you think that being involved in the cut and thrust of politics could actually, you know, become a bit of a hindrance when you want to get involved, if you do want to get involved in cricket once again? Because is the politics that much of a cutthroat environment that could make it uncomfortable in a cricket environment?
No, it's not. You know, it's not a hindrance. Everything you achieve in life is through cricket. And my heart will always be into cricket. And don't remember that I'm running for the opposition. So even, you know, you get in as an MP, you're still in the opposition and the majority rules. So I still will have opportunities to make my contribution to cricket. Mm-hmm. And to a lot of young men within my constituency, young men within the region, and young men in Barbados as well. So I will continue to make my contribution in cricket.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you're looking forward to, assuming you do prevail to, you know, the 1-29? I mean, you know, it sounds as if you'll be drowned out by the government side.
No, I'm not too perturbed about that. You know, a lot of people ask me that question, but I'm a customer. I was West Indies head coach already. I was West Indies captain. So I know what it means to have 6 million people on your back. So there's just 29 people. So I'm not bothered about that. I'm sure that, you know, going into that, the Democratic Labour Party, there are people that would prepare you very relevant to going into parliament and facing those 29 people. Mm-hmm. So again, like cricket and like sport, preparation is the key. You know, you prepare well before you go into parliament, and you go and do your job.
Mm-hmm. So what are your plans now in terms of your coaching career, Floyd?
Like you talk about my coaching career hasn't gone anywhere, Andrew. I'm still here. Yeah. I'm following closely what's going on in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that as soon as camps and that start back, that I will be heavily involved in training the young people, mm-hmm. you know, preparing them for international cricket. As you know, the most important thing for a young man is preparation. I believe that we still got to prepare our players properly to get to the international standard. And by coaching that international standard, mm-hmm. you see players come out there with a lot of flaws and a lot of technical flaws and the physical deficiencies in terms of fitness. So we got to get our act together in terms of the preparation stage mm-hmm. before the players get to that level. I think that's a very crucial stage in terms of our development. Mm-hmm. So I see myself, I have a major role to play still in my senior cricket.
Mm-hmm. I see my good friend Philo has got his hand up. Philo?
Yeah, I want to ask Floyd a question. Because obviously he's been there. At the international level, Floyd, do you think we should be coaching or managing our players? Mm. Our players should be able to come to the coach and say, "Coach, I am struggling in this area. Can you help me?" Rather than we going and coaching. Because you just said that you see players come to the international level with flaws, mm-hmm. which I don't think should be happening.
Mm-hmm. But I just said, Philo, too much coaching happens at international cricket for West Indies. There's too much coaching. And like you said, we should be just managing players. We should be just facilitating the players. Players should be up there knowing what they want, knowing what the needs are, knowing how to prepare for games. And we just ironing out one or two deficiencies. But I believe too much coaching happens mm-hmm. at the senior level. Mm-hmm. And that is because our systems, again, mm-hmm. you know, the players are as good as the systems. Like we still got to get the right systems in place mm-hmm. to get our players ready for international cricket. Mm-hmm. You mean the standard of first-class cricket, the preparation of teams going into first-class cricket, the out-of-season preparation. You still see players coming back with the same flaws year after year, year after year. So my thing is that, yes, we don't have a high-performance center. You know, it's unfortunate that the high-performance center at the University of Sajaka High Performance Center was closed down. And you look at that High Performance Center, the majority of the players that are playing test cricket now came through mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that High Performance Center. Mm-hmm. I think that was a major mistake in terms of closing that down. So we may not have the money now for a High Performance Center, but we need High Performance programs. Ooh. We get High Performance programs in place. We get the science. I believe in the science, Philo. Mm-hmm. And I still think we're not embracing the science of the game. Simple things like nutrition, mm-hmm. how we eat. You know what I mean? And when it was coach, and when it's at international level, you see the other teams come down and they eat a balanced diet. Mm-hmm. While our guys eating Indian and everything. So when that food breaks down in your body, how much energy you're going to get for how long? Mm-hmm. So you will see that our guys will play 2 good years of cricket and taper off. Because mm-hmm. the energy levels start to drop. Ooh. So the simple thing like nutrition, which is very scientific, we don't have that there down pat as yet. So I think that those are things that we need to do. We need to get high performance programs mm-hmm. in all the territories. Mm, and that's the way forward for our cricket.
Mm-hmm. Just before you go, Floyd.
We don't need to have $25 million building.
Oh.
We need high performance programs.
Oh, interesting. Doc, are anybody else for the question for Floyd before he goes? Doc, you have a question for Floyd?
Floyd, what do you think that the diversion into politics, considering that you've had some forays into the top flight of coaching in the region, even though the results haven't been what you would have liked, do you think that, let's say, other countries or other big leagues would have the confidence to invest in you and question your commitment to the professional coaching?
Mm. Sorry, repeat that. You're breaking up a lot, Doc.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I was asking you if the foray into politics, if you think that let's say, other countries or other big leagues may question your commitment to the profession of coaching in terms of you having opportunities far afield outside of the West Indies?
No, I don't think so. It shows that I'm very versatile.
Ooh.
It shows that I'm a versatile person.
Mm, interesting answer.
Yes, I'm a versatile person, and whatever I put my mind to do, you know, I go in there and give it my best shot. So I don't see it as a challenge. I don't see it stopping me from getting opportunities around the circuit. I still have my agent who's been in contact with me. Obviously, things are a little tight around the circuit, you know, because of the COVID situation. Mm-hmm. But I sure many other opportunities come about then. With my coaching knowledge and my experience and my track record as well, that there's no stopping me from getting opportunities, you know, around the circuit. As for the politics, I see politics as representation of the people. And I've learned a lot in the last 6 to 8 weeks, and you know, I've been getting a lot of calls as well. People congratulating me, you know, for stepping up and doing what I did. So it shows that I'm an improved person. You know, in those last 6 weeks, I'm an improved person. I'm a stronger person. And I was always a guy with a big heart, lion hearted. They call me the quiet lion, but my back is even broader now. So I think that, you know, this has prepared me for a lot of things going down the road in the future.
Mm-hmm. Doc, is that it for you, Doc? All right. Yeah. Fazir, is that it for you? In terms of, okay, Floyd?
I would like to say something.
Yes, yeah, Nehemiah Perry, Nehemiah, I understand you want to run in the next elections in Jamaica too, although your party lost badly, the PNP. No. They tell me you're a PNP man.
It's not an easy place. That's right, but it's not an easy place.
Oh, you're a PNP man. Okay, Fredo.
Yes, man. Right. I just want to just say something, and I don't know if Floyd will agree, or Philo, and all the other panelists.
Mm.
What do you think about school cricket? Because I believe that school, we are getting poor cricketers coming out of school and clubs. And I think one of our biggest problems is that, and that is why we are coaching so much at the top level.
Oh, dear.
Because when you fix and spend most of your resources at school and fix the fundamentals from the base, that is when you start, you begin to launch out a little better. So I'm asking you, Floyd, here, do you think what emphasis should place on school cricket?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Yes, Floyd.
Yes, school cricket is very important. But Philo will attest to this. You know, we learned a lot of cricket at school. But when you look at school cricket now, it's a bit different. Now, when we were going to school, at high school, we had about 4, 5, 6 teachers that were masters that were playing cricket with us, right? So we learned a lot of cricket from the masters at school and the senior players as well. I don't think now when you look in the school teams, you can hardly find one master that is playing or one school teacher that is playing amongst the young men. So it's just a bunch of young men playing cricket together. So there's no learning, there's no teaching. Mm-hmm. So if there's no teaching, there's no learning, right? So I think that's a big difference in terms of school cricket. So which means now that we got to pay a lot more emphasis on the coaching at high school level. I think we need to get qualified coaches into the high schools. Mm. Right? I think that's very important now, especially now where you don't have the masters.
Mm. Oh, I see.
That used to play cricket with us. I played against Philo at school, and I had about 3 or 4 masters playing. I played at school with Matt Fingall,
mm-hmm.
Nigel Newton, Mr. Chase, Mr. Lovell. I played with a lot of school masters
mm-hmm.
who knew the game.
Right.
Who taught us the game. Mm-hmm. Right. So we got to adapt. Now we got to adjust. We got to be innovative. We got to pivot, which means now that we have to get highly qualified coaching into the high schools. And that's where our players will develop. I still see a lot of players come through high schools with basic flaws. Can't do basic things in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that should not be the case. So it needs to know what is lacking from before. We need to correct it in terms of getting qualified coaches, cricket mm-hmm. coaches into the high schools.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. But Floyd, just before you go, you've been absolutely brilliant. Two things, let's go back to the politics. Were you surprised in terms of the number of votes you got, and would you be running again? Fazil, you like those questions? Yes, Floyd.
In terms of votes, Andrew, you know, you can only do your part on the ground in terms of negotiating and talking to people and selling yourself. But obviously, you know, you ran for a party that have been beating 30 love from before. So it's always difficult to swing on votes. But I thought the amount of votes I got was a major improvement from the last election. So okay. That is a positive for me. Yeah, that's a positive for the party as well. So I think general election, it will be a different case in terms where more people will come out and vote, and you know, people pay more attention and more emphasis to what's going on in the country.
So you're confirming that on Mason and Guest that you'll be back in the next elections. May call it earlier, but whatever. Are you saying to me that you're going to be running the next elections, and your campaign manager will be?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just answering your question. I'm just taking it one day at a time.
Okay, so there is a possibility then that you may very well run in the next election. There's a possibility.
Like I said, Andrew, one day at a time.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Floyd. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Of course, we talk cricket, we talk politics. We can't separate them. And I certainly am happy to have had you on the show. Of course, Garfield Charles, who is not going back to Ghana to be in any politics at all. Of course, it's always good to see Philo ready. He's looking to run when he comes back. And I know Faze has no interest at all in politics. And of course, Dr. Ford is not a politician. And Nehemiah Perry is going to be the candidate for the PNP in the next election. They were beaten so badly in the elections recently. Floyd Malone-Briefer, we want to thank you for coming on Mason and Guest, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Hi, Floyd. All the very best.
All right. So good. So there you have it. Floyd Reefer talking, of course, about the expectations in relation to the West Indies team in New Zealand. And we couldn't go unless we spoke to him about his experiences in politics. And he said that there was an improvement, and there was, in fact, an improvement as well. And I'm pretty sure that Floyd will be back whenever the elections are called. Now, let's take you back now to Jamaica and, of course, talk to Nehemiah Perry. We've also got Fazil Muhammad and, of course, Garfield Charles. Nehemiah Perry, the former Jamaican West Indies off-spinner, when you look at the West Indies side in New Zealand, we had a game, 308 for 3, 124 for 1, made by the A team. And, of course, the West Indies, 366. These figures, do they worry you at all, Nehemiah Perry? Put your mic on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're worried?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I am very worried. I remember in the days past, when we used to go to Australia and these places, we used to play like two warm-up games, or maybe three warm-up games, and so forth. I think that these two warm-up games would do a world of good for the team to adapt to the condition and situations and so forth. A very difficult place to play. You know, when we played there in 1999, we didn't win one single game.
Can you imagine?
I was a part of that tour.
Ooh.
Very, very difficult place to play. You know, what was pleasing was to see that Darren Bravo spent some time in the middle. Ralston Chase and Shamar Brooks spent some quality time in the middle. But what worries me is the amount of wickets that we got. We didn't get much. Although we spent some time in the middle bowling and so forth, I would have, you know, loved to see, you know, some more wickets in the wicket column. So I'm pretty much concerned with how we're going to consistently play some good cricket, and a lot of intensity gonna require to beat New Zealand in New Zealand, some very quality cricket. So how are we gonna get positive results? But is only by playing some consistent pressuring cricket. You know, can't be giving loose balls and giving our wickets away just like that. You get a start and you just give a wicket away. I don't know if they understand, you know, that when you get a start, what you should do. Because when a new person comes in, he has to start all over again. So when you're there, you need to take charge Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things I need to see more. When persons get in, they stay in and stand up and bat for the whole entire day. But I'm a little concerned right now. I think we'll see over the next couple of days and then with the next warm-up game. I think it starts, soon starts again. And then the test match and start soon, or the T20s. So we need to be prepared very much. I think that it's going very well based on the information and I'm getting coming out of New Zealand, that the preparation is going very well and things. So I'm you know, keep my fingers crossed we can play some positive cricket, but I think we will be very, very much up against it, against a very good professional confident team.
Fazir, I'm getting a WhatsApp message here saying, Fazir, you're always saying that the West Indies will lose. You're very negative. And why can't you say that they will win? No, I don't know why the person would have said that. But of course, you know, truth is not always popular, but truth is always right.
Well, I have no issues with that. The fact of the matter is, and this will be my last comment, Andrew, because you know I have to depart in a couple of minutes. The issue is, are we in the business of PR?
Right.
Are we in the business of sounding positive for the sake of sounding positive? And if it is yes, that I'm sounding negative, am I sounding negative?
No.
Or am I sounding factual?
Factual.
If the point is, the issue is, if the West Indies would have lost on average 5 test matches every year for the last 22 years,
right,
does that sound like winning? And the last time I was on this show, Andrew, Jonathan Carter was asking the question, what about players who've waited in the wings for so long and can't get an opportunity? And the question I posed to him, averaging what? Mm-hmm. Averaging in the low 30s mm-hmm. in regional first-class cricket? Mm-hmm. So the issue is, Andrew, is if we need to determine whether or not we are in the business of PR mm-hmm. or whether we are in the business of saying it as we see it based on the available data that you push forward to see, therefore, what is going to happen in New Zealand. And yes, I appreciate that it will sound negative, but is it unreasonably negative? And in any event, I don't think there's necessary to have to defend anything. It's up to people to judge what the opinions are. And as I said, this is my final comment. Mm. If at the end of the day, we have reached the level of saying someone averaging in the low 30s is West Indies test material, mm. then that answers the question as to why we are where we are in West Indies Grand World Cricket.
Just
thank very much, gentlemen. A pleasure being involved with you all. Yeah, just go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, just give me 30 seconds.
I'm saying
just 30 seconds.
Thanks again.
Just 30 seconds, Fazir. Just want to quickly bring you back. Tony Gray was on our show last week, and he's no longer chairman of selectors. Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised, because Trinidad and Tobago is a very poisonous environment when it comes to the administration of the game. Okay. And the manner in which Gray was removed, the manner in which Keno Mason was removed, the manner in which Mervyn Dillon clearly is not going to be selected as a head coach, even though he took the Red Force up to second mm-hmm. in the regional first-class standings, mm-hmm. that speaks to the poor quality of administration in our game, where it's all about regional rivalries, where it's all about which part of the country you're from. It's not merit-based, because if it were merit-based, we would not even be having this discussion. So Trinidad and Tobago, Andrew Mason, Trinidad and Tobago cricket is a reflection of Trinidad and Tobago politics. It's basically crabs in a barrel.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, thanks to you, Fazir Mohammed. Crabs in a barrel, of course. Crabbing in Kalaloo is supposed to be sweeter than flying fish in Cuckoo. All right. Thanks to you, Fazir Mohammed.
Take care, everyone.
All right. When we come back, we may have a bit of ackee and saltfish, because we've got Nehemiah Perry. And in fact, Elvis Howard is saying to me he wants to hear Nehemiah Perry speak about schools cricket in Jamaica. Well, Tony Becker was telling me before he died that he was very concerned about the whole question of schools cricket in Jamaica. But of course, we got to pause for our business cause. Mason and Guests is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.